Several months ago, the magazine Christian Century invited some of its authors to try their hand at summarizing the Christian message. They were instructed to proclaim the gospel in a maximum of 7 words and to expand on their statement in a few sentences. As the article explained, the exercise can have practical benefits. Christian leaders often need to have what business consultants call an elevator speech, a quick way to sum up what is distinctive and compelling about Christianity. When asked to sum up the Christian message, one must do better than, "Well, it's complicated." Here are just a sample of their responses. Maybe you can try this when you go home this afternoon. 7 words or less. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Divinely persistent, God really loves us. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. We are the church of infinite chances. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. I remembered that article and went searching for it again this week as I was faced with the daunting task of preaching about forgiveness. In my memory of the article, I thought for sure that forgiveness would make a regular appearance. And I was surprised to find that it was never mentioned. Of course, you could argue that every one of those 7-word statements was about forgiveness in one way or another. But it was interesting to me that the authors all avoided the word. Forgiveness is clearly at the heart of the gospel, but forgiveness is also a very troubling word. It carries a lot of baggage. Forgiveness is hard to explain, usually misunderstood, a very difficult thing to learn, and an even harder thing to teach. Telling someone to forgive is sort of like telling someone to stop feeling what they feel. It's just not that simple. Forgiveness is hard. And sometimes I think we make it even harder when we confuse forgiveness with other things, like forgetting. If forgiveness means ignoring the cruel things someone has said about us, or only seeing the good in the person instead of admitting that they really hurt us, then no wonder we want nothing to do with it. We confuse forgiveness with smoothing things over and putting it all behind us. But that's not really forgiveness. Real forgiveness means caring enough to be hurt and to acknowledge that real harm was actually done. Forgiveness means caring enough to put ourselves, if only for a moment, in the other person's shoes and to share their guilt as if it were our own. The reason that I know forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel is that this is exactly what God does. What God did do in the person of Jesus Christ. God loves us too much to dismiss our sin and guilt with a flippant, "It's okay, don't worry about it." In the cross, God says to us, "Yes, it is true. You have hurt and offended me, but I still love you. I will make your guilt my guilt. I will suffer with you and for you and on your behalf to make things right between us again." So even for God, forgiveness is hard. Even for God, forgiveness has a cost. And yet we know that forgiveness is at the very heart of the gospel we proclaim. We know that forgiveness is at the very heart of our job description as disciples. We know this, but it doesn't make it any easier. It wasn't easy for a disciple named Peter, either. Peter, who was always trying to outdo the other disciples in demonstrating his dedication to Jesus. He understood Jesus and his message well enough to know that there was no way that one could overstate the importance of forgiveness. Jesus had made the point very clear time and time again. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek." Peter knew that if he were going to follow Jesus, forgiveness had to take the place of honor. He knew this. But he was also human, a man who wrestled with hurt feelings, a man who held grudges, a man who had been wronged. Peter was human, just like us. And so Peter was trying to get a handle on all of this, how to reconcile Jesus' teaching about forgiveness with the reality of living among people who are frankly hard to forgive, maybe even unforgivable. He wanted to know just how far he had to go. How many times did he need to forgive? There had to be a limit, right? Jesus, if a member of the church offends you, don't you think 7 times is enough? 7 seemed to Peter like a pretty generous offer. But Jesus answers, no, not 7, but 77 times, reminding Peter that forgiveness is not a commodity to be doled out with caution or measured out like medicine. Forgiveness is not something that we come to naturally. As one author put it, forgiveness is God's idea. I like that. Because if we're honest, we can admit that forgiveness is seldom the course that we choose. It's only with God's help, it seems, that we can forgive. It's only because we are forgiven, even or especially when we don't deserve it, that we have any chance at all of forgiving one another. We are all sinners, saved by grace. As far as the east is from the west, so does God remove our transgressions from us. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe, or at least try to. So Jesus tells Peter that we need to forgive and keep forgiving until we lose count. Okay, now that's hard enough to swallow, but then, as if to drive the point home, Jesus tells what is perhaps the most frightening parable in the whole Bible, about a king who forgives one of his servants. A servant who turns right around and goes after another man who owes him a few dollars and has him thrown into jail. But the king, who had put himself on the line to show mercy, hears about what the servant did and orders that unforgiving, ungrateful servant to be handed over to be punished until his entire debt is paid. Something, by the way, which is absolutely impossible for him to do because he owes something on the order of $50 million. And then the words we were hoping we would never have to hear. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. These are harsh words coming from the Good Shepherd. They are a wake-up call, spoken, we hope, in love, out of Jesus' deep desire that people wake up to the truth that God's mercy is deep and wide, and that if God is merciful, then we who are created in God's image ought to be merciful too. We say something very much like this every Sunday when we pray, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. As disciples of Christ, we are commanded to do things we cannot do. Love people who are unlovable. Serve without counting the cost. Forgive. But the hardest thing, it seems to me, is to forgive, whether the person deserves forgiveness or not. And yet we are commanded to do it. We are commanded to do it, not because it is humanly possible, but because, as one person put it, as we try to do what God commands us to do, the ability to do it is given to us by the God of grace. Corrie ten Boom, who was imprisoned by the Nazi regime for hiding and protecting Jews, tells of an experience she had many years later as she preached in a church on the subject of forgiveness. As she left the pulpit and came down to the center of the sanctuary to give the benediction, she noticed a man sitting in the front row. After the benediction, he got up and came toward her with his hand extended and a bright smile on his face. She recognized him. He was the chief guard at the concentration camp where she had been held with her sister, where her sister had died. And the guard's face was beaming. "Oh, Fraulein," he said, "how grateful I am for your powerful message. To think that Jesus has washed away my sins." Corrie ten Boom found herself paralyzed. She could not lift her arm to shake his hands. "Vengeful thoughts boiled through me," she says, "and I could do nothing about them. I could not feel the slightest spark of love or charity. I had nothing to do except to pray, and so I simply said in my heart, 'Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness.'" And then she says this: "Then from my shoulder and along my arm and through my hand passed a current of love from me to him. And I discovered in that moment that it is not in our forgiveness, any more than in our goodness, that the world's healing depends. The world's healing depends on God. When God tells us, 'Love our enemies,' he gives us, along with the command, the love and the capacity to forgive. As we try to do what God commands," she says, "the ability to do it is given to us by the God of grace." So if you're thinking that I'm simply telling you to go home and try to forgive somebody this afternoon, then you're wrong. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that you reach deep down within yourself and find the courage to say those hardest words of all. But what I am saying is this: that if you can begin to see yourself as a person completely dependent on God's grace and mercy, if you can look in the mirror and see someone who is forgiven by God despite all of your imperfections, then there is the possibility that God can give you the gift of being able to forgive, even when you can't forgive him. You can ask for God's forgiveness. Now, anytime a preacher tackles forgiveness, at least one member of the church comes forward with a horrific story of abuse or neglect. "Are you telling me that I have to forgive?" What is the preacher supposed to say? "Are you telling us that we should forgive the murderer, the rapist, the pedophile, the terrorist? Is there any acceptable answer to that question? Are you telling me that I have to forgive?" I like this wise response: "No. But what I am telling you is that there is a power in this world that is beyond your capacity to forgive. And before you are dead, God intends for you to be released from that anger, that holding on to resentment and hostility, even if it's justified, that binding of your soul. To forgive is not to excuse what is unjust or cruel. It is to make the conscious choice to be unbound. It is to ask God to set you free. So what is the most important message the Christian church has to tell in a world filled with vengeance and bitterness and violence and hatred? I believe it is the message of forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's antidote for all that would separate us from one another and cause us to destroy one another. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ." God is making his appeal to the world through us. Can we do it? It would seem that we must. Jesus came to show us that forgiveness is the most important thing. So forgiven ones, let us forgive one another. Thanks be to God.